Okay, this morning we'll be in Titus chapter 3. I'll begin by reading it. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all and all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sins, being condemned of himself. But I shall send Artemas unto you, or Tychicus. Be diligent to come to me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting to them. Excuse me. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Excuse me again. All that are with me salute you. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. There's some really good understanding in here. Help you understand some things in your mind and show you how badly that the King James is interpreted. For whatever the reasons, makes no difference to me. The real concern is that I understand what God was really saying. Okay, in verse 1 it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey the magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Sounds good, don't it? That's not what it says. It doesn't say put them in mind. It says remind yourself and others. Remind yourself and others. Does that have more meaning to it?
First and foremost, yourself.
Yeah, remind yourself. Now, he couldn't say remind yourself and others if you hadn't already had it in your mind, could he? See? He couldn't say remind you of something if you hadn't already knew it. And many times we have things that we experience in life, and if somebody doesn't come along and trigger a response in us about something, we won't remember that stuff. We'll just go over top of it. So he's saying, put it in mind, to help everybody remind us, to remind yourself first and then others. Paul wrote in another place that it's not grievous for him to write these things again, because it's needful that people are be reminded. All of us, we have to be reminded from time to time. So it's not that someone's trying to tell us what to do. God is sending someone in your life to remind you that there's something you need to be dealing with. Okay? Whatever it might be. Okay. But anyway, remind yourself and others to be subject to principalities. Principalities really means what?
Rulers.
Rulers. Okay, not just the law, but the rulers. The language really says rulers. So, but to whoever's in control of, if we live in the state of Ohio, we're subject to the governor. We're subject to the police in the state, the state police. We're also subject to the local police, the county police, to the governors, magistrates, all this stuff. We're subject to them. He didn't tell us to go try to stop the world, did he? All the leaders of everything, yes. See, but this is all about natural leaders, because spiritual leaders don't have to worry about receiving respect. If they're truly as humble as they say, if someone respects them, that's great, and if they don't, that's okay too. That's not the leader's issue, it's the person's issue for not being respectful.
Mark those who follow Christ.
Follow them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But he said, you know, the rulers and powers to obey magistrates, to be ready, what?
That's for every good work.
Well, that's not exactly what it says. Okay?
Honorable.
Well, the word to literally should say this, to be ready pertaining to what? All humility. All humanity. Is that what I'm saying? Oh, I went a wrong one. Pertaining to all good work. But pertaining to, not just to, be ready to it, all every good work, but pertaining to every good work. Okay? Sorry about that. Had two things written really close together there, and I got off on the wrong one. Verse 2 says, goes right along with it, to speak evil of what? Not even one. Not even one. To be no what? To be no brawlers. And it doesn't even say that at all.
It says peaceable and gentle.
There you go, right there. To be peaceable and then gentle, right. Gentle being another word, but yeah, it's there. To be peaceable, gentle. The word but shouldn't be there either. Showing all, not meekness, but all humility to all humanity. We should be meek to all people. To be humble to all people. If someone does you wrong, who's got the fault? They do. So why should we get all cranked out and get ourselves all whacked out because of what they did, and it's their responsibility?
You're just lowering yourself.
You're crawling in the pit with them. Mm-hmm. See, let them go. I don't care what they do. Remember I said a long time ago, what people think about you is none of your business, right? That's not easy. We have to work at that.
Yeah.
But if you don't convince yourself, remember what I said up there, remind yourself? You got to convince yourself. We're snared by what? By the words of our own mouth. Okay? We're snared by the words of our own mouth. So when I speak things like that, saying it doesn't make any difference what somebody thinks about me, it's none of my business. Every time I speak, it's going to my ears. I'm reinforcing and reminding myself. So I speak things all the time to other people, but I'm the one hearing it first. Okay? It comes through my mind first. And I'm just reinforcing it all the time. And it's good for everybody to do that. To reinforce yourself is helping you to remind yourself and others. And as you remind yourself, guess what else you're doing? Reminding others.
You're habitually practicing.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to be helping someone else remember, you know, I should be that way too.
Even when you're not, you don't have to necessarily speak it. But
your action, by your actions.
Someone steps on your toes or does something to you, and you just don't. They're looking for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do that.
Yeah.
It turns out.
You know what I like to do?
I'm kind of curious.
You know what I like to do? I like to laugh when people do things like that to me.
Yeah.
It just pisses them off.
But you know what? People see it that you don't respond to it, you know, in a negative way.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to goad you.
I don't care. Tell them you can't get me. This thing, do you remember when the scripture says it's not on this subject, but it's kind of going along what we're saying? When it said we're supposed to be dead to the world and the world be dead to us?
Mm-hmm.
There's really something there to understand. If you're dead to the world, if somebody is dead, buried,
don't react.
Now, and somebody walks by, do they pay attention to you? So if you're truly dead to the world, you're almost invisible. Right? It's just like you're not even there. But if the world is dead to you, what can it do to you?
Delete it.
Huh?
Just delete it.
Well, I'm saying it can't do anything to you. He didn't tell us to delete the world. Just take it out of our thought process. You take away the power of the world when it no longer has effect on you. Yeah. You can't affect a dead man.
The influence is...
There's no influence.
Yeah.
There's zero influence to it. But you have to practice that yourself.
You know, one of the things I've been saying, and I think I shared it yesterday, of having a companion,
mm-hmm.
because we both work together. You know, I was teasing and telling the girls that yesterday about when you told me I needed a Snickers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have... We should have a companion that
is honest. It's honest.
Yes, that will say, you know, excuse me, but right now you're not portraying what we want to walk.
Absolutely.
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
And you know, we sometimes it offends that mate.
Mm-hmm. But if it does, it's pinpointing an area that needs work.
But what I'm saying is sometimes offenses must come. And sometimes it might take a day or two for that mate
to work through
to realize, wait a minute, you know.
Sure.
And that's not saying, yeah, see, I told you.
No.
It's both ways.
It's got to work both ways. See, it said humility to all men at all times, see. So just because you're right, don't give you the right to goad somebody.
Right. I am one, but we walk as one.
Mm-hmm.
So... Those principalities, like you were talking earlier, first starts within yourself, but then it also starts with us too.
Mm-hmm.
To align ourselves to the one,
to the spiritual one.
Get back in balance, you know.
Well, you said something about the principalities here, the rulers, but he said to be subject to them, and that tells me something. We're not to be subject to the natural world because we're dead to the world. No, wait a minute. You said something ago. I'm trying to correct something you said there a minute. You said to be subject to those principalities when you just explained something. But that's something very natural. This is talking about a natural thing, physical things out here, not to the spiritual. I know, but you said it.
I'm talking the spiritual principalities.
Yeah, but you didn't say it that way. That's what I'm saying. There you go. You don't need a Snickers this morning yet.
To obey
them, see, and we're not necessarily to obey all the physical things.
Yeah, because you can't obey the corrupt
system,
some of the stuff.
Yep.
But in a physical, like obeying the speed limit, stuff like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just obey it. It's good.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to hurt anything.
You're just humbling yourself. You're just doing what, no big deal. It has no influence, no effect on your mental state.
Right.
That's what I guess I'm trying to say. You're dead to that worldly thing there.
We are supposed to be.
You're humbling yourself in the cares of the world.
Right? Yeah. The things, and as we get older, of course, it helps things. It makes it easier. Things lose their importance to us. The priorities we have in our life, things, they all change as you get older. Things just don't mean what they used to. Things that were the central focus of our life is no longer there. There was an old song we used to sing when we were in Pentecostal churches that said, you know, things grow dim in the light of you, but I always said dim in the light of him, you know. They don't have the same luster. The world doesn't have the same luster. There comes a point where the world has nothing left for us. You know, I have no desire for stuff. I don't have a desire for anything. Just I'm contented where I am right now. You know, and that's a wonderful place to be, I think, to be just contented, not have any desires. It is what it is, and that's okay. Yeah,
air.
Right. And it is just
that,
air.
That feeling of constantly needing more, when you kind of get rid of that.
Yep.
That's freeing. That's a big burden off. Big load off.
I think they grab for stuff because they're they're empty inside, and you can't figure out what they need.
Yeah, they haven't found the piece that fits back in there and fills up the gap. And like you said, they're missing something, and so they're grasping after stuff to fulfill themselves, and stuff will never fulfill you. It's all temporal. It'll just for a season. But that's the perfect thing. That's the thing that they're looking for, and they don't know it. Or won't let their pride, the pride is what's keeping them from getting to that truth. I got several friends who are wonderful people, but they are so caught up with that missing link inside of them that they think is missing, that they're never satisfied, no matter what their age.
You know, they quote things on like Facebook about like a perfect partner and all this stuff. And then when you kind of look back, they had that person.
But they didn't know it.
Appreciate it.
No, they didn't appreciate it. They didn't realize what it was. It's a shame.
Fear also keeps us of surrendering and really finding that peace, that satisfying thing of a relationship with God. And letting go of that pride. That's your defenses.
Sure is.
And they can't let go of that
because
they'd be vulnerable.
If you can pile enough stuff up around you, you can make it like a fort, so you can be safe in there.
Like, you know, Adam and Eve, they were naked, they felt exposed, right?
Yep.
They're afraid of that.
Yep, most people is. And we were there.
That was the whole thing they needed to be.
They needed to be exposed, to be free. They were free until they listened to the wrong voice. They listened to that other voice. But this next verse tells us about that.
Okay.
Look what it says. Because we ourselves also were sometimes not foolish, but unwise. Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
Yep.
Everybody gets their turn there. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving divers lusts, or literally enslaved to divers lusts. Different lusts and stuff, and pleasures or desires to injure, okay? That's not correct, is it? No, just desires. Lusts, different lusts and desires. Living in malice, and that malice is the word that means desire to injure. You know, when you say things that are meant to injure people, not just to get their attention, but to hurt people. It doesn't mean necessarily physically hurting them, but words do damage beyond. You cut yourself and it'll heal. It may be a scar, but you'll forget about it. When people say words, sometimes they carry them for a lifetime.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I always heard that little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's a lie. Because the sticks and stones will heal up that's been thrown at you, what that damage they do. But those words, I've met kids over the years, not kids, but they're adults my age, I was school with that's still bitter about things that were done 50 years ago in school.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, you tell me them words don't hurt you. They're carrying them 50 years later to the point that they won't even associate with anybody at school, with the school with them, because they're so upset about what someone said or someone did.
Traumatized.
Oh, geez. I told a bunch of them, good God, lay it down. That was child. That was kid stuff, man. It's over with. Oh, geez, they're carrying. It's crushing them because they can't lay it down.
They don't want to.
No, because it's been their defense. It's been a justification for not doing anything, not associating. But anyway, living with that desire to injure and jealousies. That word envy means jealousies. Being hateful and hating one another. See, we've all been there in all of these instances. Everybody gets their trip down this lane of nastiness called life. And hopefully through the process, we're going to understand that some of these things, all these things listed here in verse 3, are things that we don't need. They are necessary in our lives. They help us come back to our center line. If I didn't know what being unwise was, I wouldn't know what wise was, would I? See? If being disobedient teaches me to be obedient, so be it. See? If being deceived teaches me what it is to be walking in knowledge, so be it. It's a process. And it's God figured this thing out long before man came along. That's why he set it up. And he gave man the chance to say, okay, if you think you can live without the law, go ahead and live under the law. See if you can do it. Couldn't do it. So I'm going to give you the grace and mercy to go out and make all these mistakes and learn the process.
Experience is the only teacher.
It's the only teacher. See? So we've all been there. So we shouldn't, and that's one thing I saw in the church realm that really bothered me when I started to come to understanding, is a lot of the old people in church were the most unforgiving, hateful, bitter, nasty people I ever saw in my life. And they're the ones that's been in the church, supposedly in the good place, for 30 or 40 years, and they're nastier than anybody in the world. Why? They have no mercy and no grace. They come in, they say, my God, I got saved, and if you ain't saved, you're going to hell. That's foolishness. God gave them grace and mercy too, but they're not willing to give it to anybody. To give somebody else the grace and mercy to make a mistake and not condemn them for it, but now teach them in the process. Now, can you see how this was wrong? It didn't work out for you? Let's learn the truth. Let people make their mistakes. Hopefully it won't kill them. Make the mistakes, that's how they grow in life. If we take our children and put them in a eggshell and little bubble and protect them all their life, the first time they come out of there, they're going to go crazy and probably be injured permanently, if not killed. You have to let them make their mistakes and let them find out that wasn't wise. See? And they can become wiser by that experience, can't they? And that's what our Father did for us. Verse 4 goes on to say, but when, not after, but when the kindness, and the word kindness there, the character and the love, okay? And that word love of God is let me say it again. Okay, the word love there, the fondness of mankind is what it should really say. When the character and the fondness of mankind of God, by God, our not Savior but our Deliverer, toward man not appeared but became known. See, Jesus appearing on the earth didn't change anybody, did it?
No.
But when it became known, now we're talking about knowing Him. See? Knowing Him. Knowing about Him, knowing where He is. Not up in the sky somewhere behind the Milky Way, but He's residing in all humanity. When it comes known, remember like Paul said, once I came to the revelation of Jesus Christ, no longer conferred with flesh and blood, because He's in here. Take care of myself. I have to learn it myself. Everybody else has to learn it themselves. Doesn't mean we don't come together and discuss and talk about things. Because in the multitude of counselors, there's what? Wisdom. There's wisdom. See? Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, people exclude themselves when they find out the church is doing something wrong. The first thing they want to do is go run off and live on a mountaintop by themselves or in a cave. You think they're ever going to do anything straight? See? No, they won't. They won't. If they're truly going to do it, if God truly has a call in their life, they'll go where they're supposed to go. They'll get there, won't they? Because anything God purposes, it's going to be fulfilled. If I don't believe that, I don't believe anything. Okay, when it's known, and it's known what in verse 5? Not what?
Not by works.
Not from works, excuse me. Not from works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He what? Delivered us by the washing of what? Spiritual rebirth. And you know, when the birth in the natural comes, it's through water, isn't it? It's the same thing in the spiritual, by the washing of the water of the Word. Okay? And renewing or a complete renovation by the Holy Spirit. Do you think God does something halfway?
It's already done anyway.
It's a done deal, but he starts to reveal it to you in pieces. See, it's a complete renovation. When he did it, it's done. It's not something that you're going to do somewhere down the road. Finish it up.
Innovated, you're just reading.
Well, you're getting reminded. Remember we talked about in that first one, remind yourself and others? See? That's what it is. It's about being reminded. I could tell you another view of reminded. Can you think what it might be? You had one mind, and now you got another mind.
Yeah.
You were reminded. The mind of Christ. That's being reminded, isn't it? And he said, I'm going to take away your old one and give you a new one, didn't he?
Yeah, old heart, a new heart.
Which is mine. See, so he's reminding you.
You're reminding your thought process is going to be totally different.
But isn't that being reminded?
Yes.
Here's something funny. I just seen a parallel in it.
That old way of thinking is good for nothing.
It's good for nothing.
Out to the dogs and the hogs.
It's good for the law. Okay, verse 6. Which he shed on us abundantly, or bestowed upon us abundantly, through Jesus Christ our deliverer. So he's already did it abundantly, he said, right? That being justified, verse 7, by his grace, we, cross out the word should, we be made, not should be, but we be made heirs according to the hope of what? The ageless life. Okay, not should be or may be or something, but we'll be made that. Okay, we're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life or the ageless life. And verse 8 goes on to say, this is what? Not a faithful saying, but the. It's the word the, a definite article, not an indefinite article. Faithful saying, and these things I desire that you what? What's your translation say? Verse 8.
That you affirm constantly.
Okay, affirm constantly is not the proper translation.
It says speak confidently.
That's what it says. It should be assert confidently, or speak confidently is a good translation. Is that New King James?
NAS.
NAS, okay. But anyway, it should be assert or speak confidently. So he's saying, these things I'm telling you, I want you to have confidence when you speak them. Who's going to follow someone that says, as a leader, if they go, gosh, I don't know what we should, do? Well, you're the leader. Well, I know, but I don't know what to do. If you're called to be a leader, what will you do?
Lead.
There you go. See, they weren't called. If you're called to do something, you will be equipped. He said so, didn't he? He said, if I call you, I equip you. Didn't he say that in Romans? Okay. So guess what? When people say they were called, but they don't know what to do, then guess what they weren't?
Not a leader.
They weren't called.
Unless you're trying to get somebody else and say, you tell me what to do, and that person tells you what to do, and then you say, wow, look what a great leader he is.
Oh, yeah. That they which have believed God, not in God, but believed God, cross out the word in and might on both, one on each side of the word God there in verse 8. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Not believing in God, just believe God, be careful or thoughtful.
Might be.
No, cross out the might. be thoughtful to maintain or to practice good works. These things are good and profitable, what? To what?
Yeah.
Humanity. It's good to humanity. It's profitable, good and profitable to humanity. All these things he's saying in this little tiny chapter, there's powerful things in this little tiny chapter. If we listen to them, if we listen to what the Spirit is teaching us, not what man is teaching us. We all have a carnal mind, don't we? Okay. Well, that thing's got to be done away with, see? We got to listen to the Spirit of God. Remember what it says in John 10? My sheep hear what?
My voice.
Did it say he read the words on the page?
No.
They heard his voice. See? God's never quit speaking. I know he's a sanguine. Talks all the time. He's always speaking. But are we always listening? See, there's the problem. We need to be tuned in to hear his voice. All the time. In the midst of confusion, should be no reason to stop hearing what God is speaking to us. You know when you need to hear God the most? In the middle of confusion.
Yeah, when things are at
their worst.
At their worst, and there's a decision that needs to be made. That's when we need to be still.
And most people want to, that's when they don't want to listen to God. They want to do it themselves.
That prayer is a communion. It's a two-way lesson and two-way communication with God.
Well, you know what I found out about real prayer? Most of us listening.
Yeah.
Most of us listening to what he says.
Say, yes, sir, because you really don't have anything really to say about it.
He knows I'm messed up. I need to hear what he's got to say.
What does it say? Is that yes and amen?
Yes, yes and amen.
You don't hear, when you really think about it, when things are going nuts. And
we don't want to forget that. We don't need it now.
Say, help me. God, help me.
Yep.
Yep,
we just don't pay enough attention. And this is not condemnation to anybody. It's just saying, listen to the Spirit of God that resides within you. And you know what I tell people all the time? If God is not talking to you, if you're not getting no direction from your inner man, it's none of my business. I would like to help you try to get there if you can. If you can't, God wants you to hear it, you're going to hear it, right? Whether you like it or not, you're going to hear it. So, if you want it, he said if you ask for an egg, is he going to give you a scorpion? See, he ain't going to. He's going to give you what you ask for. If you truly ask for the truth, you're going to get the truth. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, not really on your time.
It's his time. Verse 9 says, but avoid foolish questions or disputes, okay? And genealogies and contentions and strivings or controversies about what?
The law.
What law?
Moses.
The law of Moses. Because they are unprofitable or useless and an idol, is what the language says. They're useless and the law is an idol. See, people that live under the law, it is an idol to them, just like it was in the Old Testament. See, they worshipped that golden box which had symbolism. They worshipped the temple which was symbolism.
They want them hung in the courthouses, but they don't know why they want them hung in the courthouses.
But see, it's idols. It's idols.
Yeah, you just want false images in your head.
Sure. Well, see, they saw just the image. They didn't see the reality of it. So it's an idol to them. It's useless. I saw this in, I don't think I've ever said it to you. God gave 10 commandments, is that correct? What we say in the Bible is 10 commandments. I think they're 10 promises, 10 prophecies. But in those 10, did God say I'll add more later?
No.
Who added them?
Moses.
The Jewish culture created immediately 613 more laws. Okay? And notice, after those 10 commandments, it's not called the law of God. It's the law of Moses, a man.
Well, if you think of the story of Moses, all the things God spoke to him was for him.
Sure.
Because he had already done all those things.
Sure. But also it's to be written down for us to understand things. And like Paul said, the Old Testament was written for our learning and instruction. Right? See, there's things in there. He said another place that every good householder brings in things from the old and the new. There's understanding to come out of the old covenant, the old scriptures. But that's not the way it is. Now it's something different. We're under a new covenant. And we have to understand that. We need to forget some of these things. Just like I think me and Lois talked about it a week or so ago, about the woman at the well. Did we speak about that? I don't think we did.
No.
The woman at the well, she had the ability to go to that well anytime she wanted to. True?
True.
She drew that natural water, natural understanding. Anytime she wanted to, she could go to that well. She did it under her own strength and her own inspiration, whenever she wanted to.
Okay.
And that's what the old order was.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the old order, the law. But Jesus came along and sat on the well. He stopped it up. He stopped the ability of getting it yourself.
She constantly was putting in an external vessel too.
Right. And it was have to keep coming back and getting it. And that's why he said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. See? So what he did when he sat on that well, he cut off the old order, which he said he came to do. I came to fulfill the law. Not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And he cut off the understanding of I can do it when I want to and where I want to. And see, that's the understanding that people have in church today. They'll go to a church and they will, oh, this is wonderful. When I first get there, they get a little bit of attention. And then when they blend into the rest of the people, after a while they get bored because they're not getting attention. Well, I'll go someplace where I like it, where I'm comfortable. Well, it ain't about being comfortable, is it? Because when there's change involved, what do people do? They hunt the door. See, when God starts doing it, they hunt the door. I'm not offended that most of the people here left. I took them as far as they could go, and when they decided they couldn't handle more, they all left. None of my concern, is it? Now, I've done my job. I've told them the truth. I haven't lied to them about anything.
I've had different ones of them tell me, oh, you'll see it, you'll be offended too.
See, offended. See, that they're telling on themselves.
Well, they didn't say offended, yeah. But I put that in because that's what they were.
Well, sure they were. Everyone that's left here has been offended about something, and usually it'll come back to me through somebody. It'll come back that every one of them has been offended about something. Hey, change will offend your flesh, won't it? If you're forced to change something, God's the one doing it, not me. Has anybody ever told anybody here you have to do anything? I've never told anybody that. I just ask you to be respectful. That's all I ever ask. But you'd be surprised what they hear. Not what I say, but what they hear in there. See?
Yeah.
They hear things that I didn't say. And anybody that was sitting here could have told the same thing. Just like we had some people that played music here, and Lois said, they usually told us to pick out the music every week. And she said, we're not going to do music this morning because I just don't feel like we're just going to do music today. And this woman said, you mean we're never going to do music again? Lois said, I didn't say that. I said, we're not going to do it now. They left. Not to return. Because they couldn't play music every week. Well, 1 week was all she was talking about. 1 day. But they heard... Huh? Well, sure. But they heard this, we were never going to play music again, which was not true. Sure, they were looking for a way to get to the door, and so they took that and ran. Well, I can't do anything about it. Huh? Sure. But if I said, oh, okay, well, let's have some music today, you know, just to cater to them, they would have probably stuck around because they got their way. I don't do that. I'm not good at that. Well, that particular lady was, she liked controlling things. So, okay, we're going to leave off there. At 10, I'm starting with 10. I did 9. About the unprofitable, vanity? Yeah. About the useless idols? Okay, verse 10. A man that is a heretic. Now, what is a heretic? We have to understand what it is, not just say the word.
Yeah, some people think it's only for church, but it's not necessarily just a church term.
Here's what the Greek language says about a heretic. It's a follower of a false doctrine.
And that can be outside anywhere. It doesn't have to be...
False doctrine. False doctrine is false doctrine, right? After the first and second, what?
Warning.
Yeah, see, King James said admonition. Most people don't know what that is. They try to figure it out, but it means warning. Why didn't you write warning? It says to reject. Now, Is that word correct? Does God ever tell you to reject another human being?
Would that be like the shown?
Sure it is. That's what the word should say. Shun them or avoid them. Mm-hmm. So if they don't want to hear it after the first and second time you've warned them,
don't beat your head against
them. Don't waste your time. There's good fields out there that's ripe for harvest. Go ahead and harvest the good ones. If they rather stay in the field and rot down, let them stay in the field. Right? Just go on. Knowing that he, verse 11, that is such as, knowing that he that is such is subverted, or literally perverted, and sins, or literally misses the mark, being what? Being condemned of himself, or self-condemned. He's already condemning himself. He knows better. He's self-condemned. And see, most people, if God doesn't condemn you, who does? Usually yourself. You judge yourself too harshly. Verse 12. When I shall send Artemas, which means a gift, to you, or Tychicus, which means fortunate, or a gift. And not fortunate. It means a gift is for Artemas, and Tychicus is fortunate. Be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis. What's that mean? It's a city of victory. See? He said, when I send the gift to you, you're going to be fortunate enough. Now you get to come to the city of victory. Because I have determined there to winter. Now, do you know there's a message in that? What would it be?
The winter is the time of death.
That's exactly right. So what's Paul preparing for?
Death.
Sure he is.
Of the flesh.
Sure. Well, even his whole body, I mean his physical body of dying, he knew the time was coming. Didn't Jesus say, it's not yet my time? And when he said, finally said, it's time, you know, to go ahead. So you're going to understand, and that's what he's trying to tell you. You're going to understand if you truly listen to what God says. Get your ears tuned in to hear what the Spirit says. You're going to know these things before they ever happen. Because all the examples in this book shows you the same thing. They knew things ahead of time. There's a passage in Ephesians that says, I will never do anything, but first I will tell my apostles and prophets. Pretty obvious, isn't it? No, don't have nothing to worry about anyway. If it's our time to die, what difference does it make? If we have fulfilled our purpose in God, then all we're doing is getting in the way of something. I mean, take me out of the way. If I'm done, take me out, you know.
Take me home.
There you go. I mean, what's the big deal about that?
What did you say?
It's not heaven or hell, but it's God. The answer is, when we die, we go to God. Well, I mean, I'm talking about the flesh body. When the flesh, it's time to check out this world, everybody will pay everything they got for one more breath. Most people will do that. Even church folk, most of them will do that. They pay everything they had and beg, borrow, and steal more to get one more breath.
Really, what they've said all this time, that they know where they're going?
They have no clue.
So they don't really
know. No, they don't believe it.
Deathbed than that.
Yep. Wanting one more breath, hoping, am I going to make it, you know? Well, the book says we all go to one place. Okay. Go read the book of Ecclesiastes in 3 and 20 and 6 and 6, and then go to chapter 12, verse 7, talking about when we die. It said the flesh returns to the dust returns to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. That ought to answer your question right there. If that ain't true, nothing is. In that book, nothing's true. They created heaven just like they created hell. They created hell to scare people into coming to church and giving them money. And then they had to create heaven for the good people that listened to what they said. Because they were being good people, so they got to have a good place for them.
Streets
of gold. Both of them, it's a scam on the whole thing. God's got a plan, but man has took and perverted everything that God has to their advantage to scam the people of the earth. That's what humanity does. They're notorious for just scamming everybody. It's always been that way, and always will be as long as there's people on the earth.
Didn't Jesus say?
That liquid sunshine's back.
Didn't Jesus say, "My peace I give to you"?
Yeah, they don't believe it. They don't believe it.
Peace is a quiet tranquility, a confidence in the midst of anything. When you're stepping out of this natural, this flesh of the world, that's pretty.
Pretty peaceful.
that's a lot of people that hang on to the flesh. That's troubling. That's really troubling, time for them. But he gave you peace.
Sure.
So, that's...
You want it now, or you want to wait till you pass out this world to get it?
Yeah,
I choose now.
Yeah, well, it's just easy, go easy, yeah. And go hard.
Yeah. Pay me now or pay me later. Okay, verse 13, that's where I'm at now, isn't it?
Yes.
And it says, bring Zenas, and that's not what it says. Literally, it says accompany. Accompany Zenas, the lawyer. Now, what law is he talking about? The one down the courthouse?
No.
He's talking about the law of Moses, the one who schooled in the law of Moses. You know what the history about this guy Zenas was? He was a Jew who was schooled in the law of Moses, but he later became a Christian. That's what they say about him. He realized that the law was fulfilled, and he had to step on in. I wouldn't call him a Christian. I'd call him a child of God. Okay? And Apollos, on their journey, diligently or promptly, that nothing be not wanting but lacking to them. In verse 14, and let ours also learn, ours. Who's ours?
Our lawyers?
No. Our people. Our people. The ones that are truly believers. Okay? Let them also learn to maintain or to practice good works. Let them learn to practice. You know, you can learn to do something out of rote. Just do it over and over and over. And I understand the way they worded it that way, but is that the way God does it? How does God do that? He shows you what your nature and character is. And if your nature and character is godly, what will come out of you?
Yeah.
See? It's not by learning anything, see?
Yeah, the godly reflection.
Yeah. It wouldn't be learning, but it would be knowing. The nature that you have is the nature of God.
Remembering.
No. Well, yeah, but remembering's right. You're right on that. But see, if you remember it, that means you know it. You've always known it, but you'd remember what you really were. You believe, and like everybody comes in this world, they believe that they're wrong, that they're sinners. I've argued that with numerous people. They said, well, we're all born sinners. I said, no, I was not. I was told I was a sinner. I didn't do anything wrong. I done the nature I was. I was a natural human being until God converted me back to what I was before. He showed me that I never was bad. I was just deceived, just like Adam was deceived. Adam and Eve was deceived in the garden. I believed a lie because everybody I knew was saying the same thing. See, that's that democratic thinking that messes us up. It's not true. Anyway, we know to maintain or to practice good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. Well, if I'm doing things that are good the way God wants them to be, the spiritual things, is anything will be unfruitful? Does that mean that I'm going to see the fruit of it immediately?
No.
Yeah. You plant the seed, sometimes it takes a while. And humans, we're real good about wanting instant gratification, but God doesn't always give us that, does he?
He gives us what we
need. Yeah, not what we want, what we need. So we don't need to see everything just the way we see it. We need to see it his way. And I think there's one place that says, come let us reason together in Isaiah. And a better rendering than that would be reasonable, see it my way. It'd be a lot easier if we did that, wouldn't it? Just do what God wants us to do.
Shut up,
man. There you go. Verse 15. All that are with me salute you. Greet them that love us in faith. The word thee isn't, the article's not there. That love us in faith. Grace, divine influence in the heart of man and a reflection into his lifestyle is in the midst of you all. How many? It's there, whether we believe it or not. Sometimes we need, whether that very first sentence said, remind yourself and others. See, we need to be reminded about these things that is so true, that can change our life so dramatically, and is so simple that we don't believe it. There's got to be a hook somewhere. See, we've been taught, because so many people have hustled so many people in the spiritual realm, the natural realm, you know, supposedly spiritual realm, in the church realm. Everybody is distrustful now. Do you blame them?
No.
See, that's why you've got to work out your own deliverance with reverence and respect.